This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, thank you for staying tuned. I'm Shaoning and this is The Morning Run with Philip C. It has just gone past 7:18 in the morning. It's Thursday, the 4th of February. And in about half an hour, we'll be speaking to Azrul Muhammad Khalid, CEO of Galen Centre for Health and Social Policy, on vaccine distribution. And it's also a subject of the poll we are running this morning, asking you, should private companies be involved in vaccine distribution? Because there's this whole public-private partnership debate that's going on.
Shaoning, can I just say, at 6 in the morning, we had pretty heated debates on.
Yeah, we did. But meantime, let's turn our attention to business, because over 30 industry reps have come out to voice their opposition to the extended movement control order that was announced on Tuesday. Calling themselves Industries Unite, the coalition said that the move is a death knell for more businesses.
Yep, the MCO extension is a blow to business as they anticipate sales during the upcoming Chinese New Year celebration slated to happen next week. Industry leaders have warned that without adequate help and a clear medium-term plan, more businesses will shutter or be forced to lay off workers. So what are the solutions that the government and private sector can provide? What is the outlook looking like for businesses and SMEs in Malaysia in the coming weeks?
So for more on this, we have Dato' David Guraratnam, the legal advisor and spokesperson for Industries Unite. Now, good morning, Dato'. Now, let's ask the obvious question. What's the main impact that this latest round of the MCO extension will have on businesses in Malaysia? Do you have any projections in terms of like business closures or job losses?
Well, it depends on what industry you're talking about. I mean, in some industries, for example, the wedding industry, for example, you have a 99% slowdown, and you have most of these people out of work. Likewise, the events industry, right? In terms of the others, such as F&B and all of that, you have 50% of the workforce almost out, businesses as well, and another 20% of businesses expected to close down over the next few coming months, yeah?
Yeah, listen to you, and you're basically saying that there are different industries with very different needs. And I get that point, and some are suffering much more than others. What is the rationale of having a broad umbrella and coalition of these diverse businesses? Because what we've seen in the past is that people tend to lobby at a specific level, like the opticians went, and then they basically had the U-turn. Why now do we have this coalition of cross industries to push this forward? And is this a little too late?
No, it's not. Actually, I think it's about the right time. I think most businesses have been waiting since MCO1 to see how the government was going to take a lead on these matters. Now, we must remember that we were encouraged to do so because of KKM and so on and so forth. However, 1 year on, the situation is getting critical. Now, we've decided, or the group has decided, to come out and engage with the government. This is not a confrontation. It's very, very clear they want to engage with the government. Now, why? If we look at MCO1, you found every day that there was a lockdown. There was 2.1 billion loss in revenue. You had a contraction of the economy by 17% during MCO1. Now you are in MCO2 and businesses realize that the situation is critical. Now, we've just had a trade surplus. Now, that is actually quite frightening for a lot of people, because what that means is domestic consumption has dropped. Now, when you have a drop in domestic consumption such as this, then you start worrying about recovery. And this is what we're talking about. We're concerned about the recovery. We're concerned about what the plan is. Now, what we're having is bi-weekly announcements. And businesses, general businesses, find it very, very difficult to manage at this stage, because you have commitments on staffing. Now, if you let go of your staff, you have to pay the price. I mean, the laws are still there, you know. You have to do it in a very structured manner. You have to plan. You have to plan ahead. You plan ahead in terms of your cash flow, in terms of your gearing, and so on and so forth. So what do you do? And what in, the general cross-section of industries are finding is a clear lack of a sort of direction or a plan forward for them to do that. And it's now become very critical. It's become very chronic for most businesses and most industries. And so they've come together with one voice to try and see if they can be part of this process to engage with the government and to lead the economy forward.
So how have your discussions been with the government? Have you had any in the first place?
Yes, we have. In fact, actually, we were pleasantly surprised that within 24 hours of the press statement, we were able to communicate directly with Azmin Ali and his team, YB Azmin Ali and his team at MITI. They came in on a public holiday on Wilayah Day and engaged with us. And they were quite concerned by some of the issues raised by the industry. Now, what they're getting, no doubt, and they've also had a chance to see our point of view, and it was a very, very good exchange.
So what were some of the proposals you have pushed forward that your industry members want that can actually help, like you say, the economy recover or businesses actually recover also?
Well, we are suggesting that there be put in place an immediate plan to assist a sort of businesses in the short term, which is the next now to the coming over the next few months, right? We're asking for a for banks and financial institutions for an automatic loan moratorium up to September, the end of September. We're asking for quit rent and assessment discounts of up to 50%. Licensing fees and waivers where it concerns local government. We're asking for the wage subsidy program, PAKESO, for revision of up to 50% of employees' wages up to those that earn up to 4,000 ringgit, and a 30% and a revision of up to 30% for those earning up to 8,000 ringgit. Wage subsidy programs are to be extended for another 6 months until September. I mean, this is quite crucial for industry. The industry is also asking for resolution in delays in disbursements of current payments of the wage subsidy programs. Now, that is something that the government needs to look into. Why is there a disconnect? Why is that the government allocates all these sums, but then there's a situation where this doesn't get translated or get dispersed down to the people that need it the most? I mean, delay in this case is actually very critical, something that the government needs to look into, right? And then they're also asking for electricity tariffs to be revised in terms of their categories and especially relating to hotels and business industries. They're asking for water for 50% discount on water charges and sewerage charges. They're asking for 50% subsidy on the telecommunication and internet subscriptions, if that was possible. And the most important, an EPF temporary reduction of employers' contribution of 5% up to September.
Yeah, I mean, that laundry list is just a really long list. And, kudos. Mm. And listening to you, it sounds very financial driven. And the stress point seems to be execution. But I want to just push back a bit. And don't you think the right stakeholder to engage is actually the Ministry of Finance? Because a lot of these financial levers actually come from that ministry and perhaps not from Azmin's ministry.
So you see, that is the exact problem. You've just nailed it on the head, right? You have so many different ministries that are involved in this that they don't, they should have, if you have an emergency action council, you should have all the ministers sitting down in one place and talking to industry, right? Now, we have to deal with Dato Sri Azmin Ali's ministry, MITI, for some of the industries to get them going, get these businesses open, to get the SOPs done. Now, let's all get one thing clear. The safety and welfare of the public is important. It's paramount, but we have to find a way. Or otherwise, we will be saved from the pandemic, but die of starvation. So we need a solution. So we need to get some of these industries out, but not every industry is under Dato Sri Azmin Ali's purview in MITI. You also have MOTEC. And then you have things like this where we need Ministry of Finance. Now, if we don't get everything organized, everybody in one place, and talking to industries, then how are we going to move forward? Do we even have a plan? Do we have a plan for 6 months? Do we have a plan for 1 year? Do we have a plan for 3 years? That is what industry is asking. How are we going to recover? Where is the confidence? There is no confidence coming in from the business industry, right? From the business. What about the workers? workers that are out of jobs? What are workers who are already? What about the lack of confidence in workers in the workforce currently? People are afraid they're not going to have their jobs. Surely there must be some plan going forward, and that's what industry is asking.
And Dato, just very quickly, is it more damaging that we just keep getting these MCO extensions and then, you know, when the announcement is made, there are no SOPs available or announced at the same time?
No, absolutely. I mean, you know, and that's what we're saying. Why can't we sit down and have a concrete plan? Why don't you engage with the individual stakeholders on how you want to implement these SOPs? Now, what we get is every time there's a breach or somebody asks a question, you know, you have say, you know, they say, look, let's just raise the fines. Now, is that the solution? Why not engage communities? Why not improve education? Why not allow the industries themselves to regulate and to police? And today you have technology. Don't forget, you know, there are many smart city apps out there where, you know, even the public can easily take a picture and everything can be done online, you know, and embrace technology. You don't have to have, you know, actual policing by the police or the council and things like that. Why don't we start looking at options such as that?
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Dato' David Guhurapatham, legal advisor and spokesperson for Industries Unite. Industries Unite is a coalition of more than 40 trade, business and professional associations throughout Malaysia. I think he brought up some very valid points that there needs to be a cohesive platform in which businesses can engage with government rather than seek different agencies and clearer SOPs across the board.
Sounds like a desperado situation.
Yes. But up next, we'll be discussing the EU's COVID vaccine export restrictions and what impact that might have. That's happening after the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.